I'm thankful for God's goodness through another week and the opportunity to look into His Word. We're in some unusual times, but probably not the worst of times in every way, but it's not the best of times either. Unusual times challenge our faith and beliefs. I mean, depending on how you're affected, we can have all kinds of responses to the crisis we're in, from panic to anger to fear to frustration, maybe a combination of all those. In fact, probably we all have a measure of these emotions, depending on how we've been affected. But it's important that we maintain a correct view of God, as well as a correct view of this life in these confusing and unsettling times. One of the phrases I've heard often lately is, whatever will be, will be. And it's often said, I know they're meaning it to be a statement of faith, but oftentimes it's just fatalism. Fatalism is a doctrine that all things are subject to fate, or that things, they take place inevitably. Things just inevitably take place. Whatever is going to take place is going to take place. Well, in one sense, that's true. But there's two dangers in the thinking behind this statement. The first real danger is that this statement discounts or disregards our responsibility for what happens. What we do will affect what happens in the future. It isn't just going to be the same, irregardless of what we do. And the fatalism doesn't take in that thinking. And oftentimes, it's almost used as an excuse that I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do and trust God to take care of it. Well, that ain't the way it works, folks. The second error of this thinking is that it tends to blame God for what happened. Or it tends to blame God for the outcome of our choices. Both of those are wrong and both of those are dangerous. Let's look at this just a little bit. Let's start by looking at God's sovereignty and how He exercises that sovereignty. God is in control. That means God is sovereign. He does what He chooses to do. He's above all. He has all power and all knowledge. Isaiah 46 and 9, we read this just a couple of weeks ago, says, remember the former things of old, for I'm God, there's no other. I'm God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will accomplish all my purposes. So, God is in control. Jeremiah 1 and 12 says, the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. God brings His word to pass. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to His will among the hosts of heaven, among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what have you done? Psalms 135 and 5, for I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven, on earth, in the seas, and all the deeps. It is He who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, and who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from His storehouse. All this is saying, this is God's world. We need to keep that in mind. This is God's world. He created it out of nothing. He knows the end from the beginning, and the world was created for God's purposes. 1 Corinthians 16:17, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. I say that because we need to keep in mind this is God's world. It's not out of control. Sometimes we view this world and we just view Christianity as a little subset of this world. And when it comes to the world and just us, yeah, that's pretty frightening, because we can be crowded out, we can be shoved away. But when you keep in mind that it's God's world, that He knew the end from the beginning, He had purposes before He created the world that He will accomplish before the world ends, that helps us get a better perspective. Amen? God's going to accomplish everything He purposed to accomplish in this world. He is active in this world, accomplishing His purposes. God directs all things to work toward His purposes. The world will stand until God has accomplished all these purposes. And it will be God who decides when and how to call an end to this world. It's this confidence in God that gives us courage in difficult times. God's going to accomplish what He intended to accomplish. Now, God is sovereign, but God is never arbitrary. God's sovereign, but He's never arbitrary. That means He never does things just because He can. God always acts in perfect accord with His character. God is perfectly holy, perfectly good, perfectly just, perfectly loving. And therefore, everything that God does is perfectly good, perfectly holy, perfectly loving, perfectly just. Amen? God is always good. God's very character is love. Everything He chooses is founded in love. God's perfectly holy. That means everything He chooses, everything He does is good and right and fair. So, God's world, God is sovereign, can do what He wants to do, but God chooses to do what He does for perfectly good reasons, perfectly good motives, never just arbitrarily because He can. Amen? Now, God's sovereign, but people have free will. Mankind was created with free will. That means we can choose what we want to do. God doesn't force us or coerce us into decisions. God doesn't make people do things. Free will, a free choice, is necessary for love to be real. Free choice is the foundation of repentance and conversion. We choose to repent. We choose to believe God. Amen? Free choice is the foundation of repentance and conversion. Free will is necessary to love, because for love to be real, it has to be voluntary. God exercises His sovereignty without violating our free will. God's sovereignty in planning the future lies in His knowledge of the future. Because God knows what people will do, He can plan to accomplish His purposes without violating their free will. He don't make them do that. The fact that He knows it doesn't make them do it, but it allows Him to plan ahead of time because He knows what they will do. Now, because of all this, God's actions in this world are not independent of our choices. What we do really matters to the outcome. And that has to do with the choices we make, good or ill. It has to do with our prayer. It has to do with a lot of things. We can read a ton of scripture that the future depends a lot on the choices that we make, because God's actions are not independent of our choices. If we disregard this truth, the statement, whatever will be, becomes fatalism. Things will inevitably happen no matter what I do. And that isn't faith. This is, in essence, blaming God, or blaming God for the results of people's bad choices. Amen? That God, must have been God's will. No! They chose, that's why they suffered. Amen? God responds to our actions in determining what ought to be done. Jeremiah 18 and 2. Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I'll let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I'll pluck up and break and destroy it, If that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from its evil, I'll relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I'll build up and plant it, and it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I'll relent of the good that I had intended to do it. God here is telling us, hey, we're clay in the potter's hand. God can remake and do as he wills. But I also want you to look at his admonition. His pronouncement of judgment and blessing, what he was going to do, was conditioned on their response. He said, if I say I'm going to destroy a nation because it's wicked, and it repents and turn, then I'm going to change. I'm not going to destroy it. And he also said, if I'm said I'm going to bless a nation because they do good, but then they turn from me and quit listening to me, then I will no longer do good, but bring judgment on it. Amen? And I say that because in order to have a good outcome, it's important that we exercise good judgment in our choices. First of all, we must make sure our choice is what is right, what is holy, what is good. Amen? God is the judge of all, and he responds to us according to our moral choices. Now, that doesn't mean if you don't know, if you make a mistake, God's going to smack you down. What it means is, when we're making choices, we need to be serious about doing what is right, obeying what God's instructed us to do, doing that which we believe will please God. Amen? We got to make choices with the will of God in view. He's to be in control of all of our life. Amen? James 4:13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, spend a year there, and trade and make a profit. Yet, you don't know what tomorrow brings. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting's evil. So whoever knows to do the right thing and fails to do it, for him it's sin. God's given us a whole lot of instruction in his word and wisdom. How to be good stewards. He's given us instruction about wise planning. He gives us instruction about diligent labor. He gives us warnings about a lot of things to avoid. Why? Because all these things are going to have consequences in our lives. We're to be both diligent in our planning and our work, yet also diligent in our dependence on God. Faith, true faith, looks to God for his help and for his guidance. It doesn't presume that God will do what he's going to do regardless of our choices. We understand that our future is in God's hands, but so much of it is shaped by the choices we make as free moral agents in this world. It's by God's help that we face the future. It's not solely relying on our own wisdom, our own choices, yet it's knowing that we do have a part to do. We are not subject to fate. We're not subject to inevitable outcomes. We have a God who's active in our lives, yet we have a large part in determining what the future holds. And I'm emphasizing this because we're in a time of confusion and upheaval. God holds the future. God knows the future. God's going to accomplish his purposes. However, what the future holds for you and me is still very dependent on our choices. Just because something happens, do not assume this was God's will in an absolute sense. Amen? God may have permitted it because of our choices. He may have chosen not to prevent the consequences of our choices. That is God's permissive will. That means he allowed it. That does not mean it was God's perfect will. Listen, God's perfect will is that people would make good and godly choices. God's perfect will is that no one ever sins. But yet he allows it because we have free choice in this life, and then he responds to it differently than if they had not sinned. Amen? You understand that? God's perfect will is that everyone would make a good and godly choice every time, that nobody would ever sin. God's permissive will is that He allows us to make choices in this life. He doesn't coerce or force us. Amen? God never wills that anybody sin, but He does allow it. And then God responds to the choices. Sin is never God's will. God often, in fact, usually allows the consequences of sin to follow the choice to sin. That's how we see the evil of sin. It's part of awakening us to the evil of sin. Part of awakening us that sin's bad. Amen? Sin brings pain. Obedience, pleasure. It's much the same way. If we disregard God and His principles of wisdom in our choices, we most likely will experience bad consequences. Not because it's inevitable. Amen? But because of our choices and our actions. Whatever will be is not really a statement of faith in God. Faith in God trusts God no matter what the future holds, yes. But faith in God is not presumptuous. It doesn't assume God will care for us and protect us no matter what choices we make. We cannot willingly place ourselves in harm's way and expect God to always rescue us. Amen? We're responsible for our choices. Remember Satan's temptation to Jesus? Took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Hey, cast yourself down because God said He'd keep you from any harm." And Jesus said, "Don't tempt the Lord thy God." Amen? We are not to place ourselves by presumption, by assuming God will always care and protect us no matter the choice we make. We're not to place ourselves in harm's way. Amen? The end result, or whatever is, doesn't mean this was God's perfect will or His perfect plan. Bad results may simply be God's permissive will, allowing us to reap the consequences of our choices. And that is so much a life. Shirking our responsibility to learn and apply God's wisdom cannot be covered by pretense that we're trusting that God is in control, so it'll all turn out okay anyhow. It ain't all going to turn out okay anyhow. God does sometimes spare us. God does sometimes relieve us. God does sometimes come to our rescue. But voluntarily placing ourselves in harm's way will probably result in harm. I mean, that's the way life works. Seeing God as sovereign doesn't relieve us of the responsibility of making good choices. Yes, God will help. God will bless. We can trust Him in everything. But let's do our part so God can freely bless us. Amen? Because He wants to set out as examples believers in how they ought to live. We're to be an example to the believer. That means we are to show what real trust and faith in God produces. We are to show that it produces a life of obedience to God. It is to show that we know God's way is best. Therefore, that's what we do. It's to show that we value God's Word so we make it part of us. So we can make good choices. So we can be wise in our decisions. Amen? I know I probably quote the Scripture more than everything, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. But that doesn't mean if you make choices that don't line up with God's Word and God's wisdom, that you won't suffer. Amen? God's still going to work for your salvation. God's still going to work to turn it to your eternal good. But it doesn't mean you won't suffer, folks. And I've heard this, whatever will be in regards to the current coronavirus and taking precautions. I don't know. I really don't. With all the conflicting information, I don't know the real severity of this disease. I know it can be fatal. I know it can be horrendous. But I don't think anybody's really got a grip on everything about the coronavirus. And some are just going about their life and just disregarding any precautions and saying, "Well, whatever it be, it'll be. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it." Well, if you knew what it does to some people, you might not have that attitude. I want us to be wise in all of our choices in life. Trusting God is not assuming God's going to do everything for us, no matter what choices we make. That's really what I wanted to emphasize to you this morning. We have a responsibility before God for the outcomes of many things in our life, because many things are simply the outcome of our choices. Let's not disregard that. Let's apply ourselves to make good choices. Let's think through how we live, what we do, how we do, so that God can freely bless us. Not that God has to take the unusual step of overriding consequences, but that God can freely bless us because we have, to the best of our knowledge and ability, followed Him, made choices that we believed would be pleasing to Him, made choices that would line up with God's Word. Amen? Amen. May God bless you.